Our next speaker is Dr. John Tarpley, Emeritus Professor of Surgery at Vanderbilt, and now an international surgical educator, well, not now, but forever has been an international surgical educator.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. Honored to be here. I'm going to talk about pure tissue repair of inguinal hernia, resurrection of a lost art, perhaps. No financial disclosures. 4 years ago, we talked about open versus laparoscopic. We're not going to talk about that today much. This is the most important reference I'll give you. It came out last month. It's a 103-page Cochrane data report that said that mesh repair probably reduces the risk of hernia recurrence compared to non-mesh repair, but you have to do 46 to get one benefit. For this talk, postoperative and chronic pain could not be compared due to variations in measurement methods, and the follow-up time was inadequate, and it was low-quality evidence. So that means we still can have an opinion, and Joe Fisher has an opinion. Why do we continue to perform mesh repairs because of inguinodynia? He quotes a 21% incidence of chronic groin pain and says that we should abandon mesh repairs and do shoulder ice repairs. At the Academic Surgery Congress, Velasco, commenting on a talk, mentioned that groin pain can be up to 43%, 5 to 11% is accepted, recurrence is down to 2 to 5%, and given all the hernia orifices we do, up to 40,000 patients may be at risk for chronic groin pain. We know that successful outcomes usually mean well-vascularized tissue to well-vascularized tissue, technically correctly, without tension. This has been reinforced by everybody. This is a contribution by R. Benton Atkins and Jack Davies, but repairs under tension are not good. In 93, Ray Reed from Little Rock talked about evolving strategies, and he mentioned Usher from the Houston VA. I just want to mention him briefly, but he was a war surgeon, trained at medical school at Penn and did his residency at Mayo. And in a course of about 5 or 6 years, he wrote about 20 papers related to Marlex and repairs, a lot of those with Ochsner. Lichtenstein used to come to this meeting every year and have a booth and introduce the tension-free hernioplasty. We have many prosthetic abetted repairs now, both open and laparoscopic. The autogenous historical repairs are the ones that you know and probably trained on, many of you. The McVeigh, if I could only have one, would be my main repair. So the challenge in 1970 was recurrence, 10%. The challenge in 2018 is chronic groin pain, let's say 10%. The recurrence rate is probably 1% to 2%, but most would say it's less than 5%. So what's not to like about mesh repairs? Well, I think there's an educational cost. I could argue that maybe residents today don't know the anatomy of the groin region as well as people who trained in the 70s. The cost of mesh is a non-issue. Paulus and Holtzman have talked at this Congress before about meshomania, which mesh, da-da-da-da-da. There are deleterious mesh consequences if there's any misadventure like migration, shrinkage, nerve entrapment, placement near the bowel or the femoral vein, as Ben mentioned, infection. Chronic pain, is it real? Or are we just beyond recurrence, and so now we're focusing on groin pain? Might mesh increase subsequent neoplasia, sexual problems, orchialgia? And then again, recently in May with litigation, 60 Minutes attorneys, and you have to answer a lot of questions from your patients. I think many of you know about this 60 Minute episode, but the plastics engineer said that Chevron Phillips became concerned and issued a warning that Marlex must not be used for permanent implantation in the human body. He was focusing on GYN mesh, but it's also for general surgeons. And if you follow the communities, you know that back in July and August, there was a lot of correspondence about lawyers and mesh after this episode. Paulus actually was asked to write a comment on the chances of mesh causing me problem in the long run, and he points out that mesh is not inert, and it's usually there for a lifetime unless you have to go and take it out. So people even look, does mesh cause cancer? And the answer is, comparing it to a knee replacement or a cholecystectomy, the answer is no. Ben David is one of the mavens in the hernia world, and he's talking about chronic post-herniorrhaphy neuralgia, mesh migration, and it has sequelae that can cause problems. So seven reasons to consider. I'm going to say open autogenous tissue repairs. They usually work. I think 95% of them don't recur, done nowadays by somebody that knows how. I think you get improved groin knowledge, which comes in handy if you do have a femoral hernia or don't find the hernia you think, and you can search and find, you're better able to detect a second hernia. I think it's more environmentally friendly than a mesh repair with a laparoscope. There's no mesh that might migrate, shrink, touch bowel, create inflammation, trap a nerve, become infected, or require removal. In this era of personalized medicine, perhaps we should be selective and use mesh when we need to, but not use mesh uniformly. I think it's gratifying and aesthetically pleasing to make a correct diagnosis and correct the problem, and it's fun. And finally, in a non-Western, low-resourced environment, there's the issues of availability, cost, and sterility. So Kirk said it well, if I develop a hernia, I shall not worry about the method of repair, but about who is carrying it out. If you have big hernias, you've got options. The late Earl Peacock pointed out that fasciolata stimulates collagen deposition, and you have a very good prosthesis close at hand just in your thigh if you put them on a bump, and that can be used. Marsland said in 1828 that surgeries reach such a level of improvement that nothing more can be expected, so I don't even know why we have these meetings. This is the eighth edition from Cameron. That's Holtzman, my partner, talked and I talked about groin hernia. Feel free to contact me either by text or by email. Thank you very much for the privilege of the floor.
He had Dr. Ferroni's triple espresso. Do we have any questions from the floor?
Yeah. What do you think is the incidence of inguinodynia with non-mesh repair?
Me? Myself, in my practice, I think it's about 1% or 2%. I think it's real. One of our former Rutherford from Fort Worth talked about routinely sectioning the ilioinguinal nerve. I don't do that, but if I'm using mesh, which I do on occasion, then I make sure that I'm worried about the inflammation. So your greatest strength is your greatest weakness. I think the mesh stimulates a fibrogenic response, an inflammatory response, and I think that helps give us the scaffolding and the healing that we need, but I think it also can adversely affect the nerve. If the nerve looks like it's going to be in trouble, then I would section it, but again, it's selective. But I think it's a 1% or 2% kind of deal. I liken this to, in my era, we did radical mastectomies in the 70s before we did modified radicals and other procedures. And we worried about recurrence of cancer, and we just kind of blew off if somebody complained that they had some dysesthesia under their axilla or in their upper extremity. But in point of fact, those were very, very important to the patients that did survive. I think that's similar to this. We used to focus on recurrence. Now we're worried about do they have chronic groin pain.
Rear microphone.
Dr. Tarpley, Derek Collier from Nashville. Pleasure to be speaking. I wanted to ask, a couple of days ago, they talked about with the Schold Ice Clinic that those are the patients that we should look at not using mesh in, the people of a certain BMI who can walk to the operating room, et cetera. Would you say that there are more than just the young, healthy male who should be doing, we should not be doing mesh in? Should we be doing it in the obese?
It's a whole other topic, but I think that you don't have to operate on everybody that has a hernia. I think most of them will ultimately probably get operated on for one reason or another, but not everybody has to be operating. Just because you can do an operation doesn't mean that you need to do an operation. I think if they're incarceration, strangulation prone, you need to. Again, I think that you're selective. Normally, I think we would all use a mesh repair, but it's not free. And I think that that's the point. And I think that you just need to be selective about your patient. I think that really an elderly patient that's not obese, they may need mesh less than a younger patient who's got 30 more years and increased activity, maybe more sexually active and every other kind of active going forward. So I think, again, it's selective. It's just like our first speaker talked about, what's the context? And so we don't operate on hernias, we operate on patients.
Thank you.